This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, BFM 89.9. It is 7:46 a.m. I'm Koo Soo Chuang, joined by Joyce Goh and my guest host, Giri Balakrishnan. Now, last Friday, Bank Negara announced GDP growth. Now, 4.5% was the mark. It was the lowest. In fact, it didn't even meet any one of the analyst forecasts, economist forecasts. Yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah, it came in lower than all the forecasts. The average estimate for the second quarter GDP growth was between 4.8% to 5.21%, but it came in at 4.5%.
Yeah, so BNM said the growth was affected by commodity-specific shocks, the prolonged disruption of oil and gas production due to supply outages in Sabah and Sarawak. We also had issues with the CPO production that was very weak due to adverse weather conditions. So the savings grace has been that the private sector activity has actually been quite healthy. So private consumption and investment expanded strongly during the quarter. BNM actually said that consumption is going to be very, very strong in 3Q because of the tax holiday that we've all been enjoying over the last 3 months.
So everyone's out shopping? Yeah. Have you guys been out shopping though?
Well, no, not really. I just want to say, I mean, sometimes the kind of lingo that economists and analysts use is kind of like, it's almost like Swahili, right? You don't understand what they're saying. I think basically the 4.5% mark has come as a result of is our agriculture and commodity sector has not come in with the income as expected because of adverse weather conditions. And I think prices haven't been great, right? CPO has been great and there's been some weakness across the board. So when you don't have as much income, you don't have as much productivity and your GDP doesn't come in as strong. I think that's the key thing. I think for the full year, Bank Negara said that Malaysia's economy is expected to grow at 5% in 2018. Lower by a great deal from the earlier projection of between 5.5% to 6%.
Yeah, I think they're going to be taking cues from the U.S., the trade war between the U.S. with China. And Bank Negara also says that, you know, it has observed growth projection weakness confined to specific sectors and factors and not on the general economy. So it's not really specific, it's more macro. It's more specific, it's not macro. And the new governor has said that Dato' Nor Sham Tia has said that, you know, at this new range, growth remains firm and Malaysia continues to be one of the fastest growing economies in the region.
Yeah, so the next headline data that we've got to be looking at is the Consumer Price Index, and that's expected out on Friday, 24th of August. Now, headline inflation, I think projection is to be moderate. According to Bloomberg analysts, the consensus forecast for inflation for the month of July is 0.9%. So if the forecast proves to be accurate, it will be a sharp drop from 3.2% recorded in July last year.
Yeah, obviously, and this is no surprise. I mean, don't forget that this quarterly GDP numbers have come in the second quarter. So this is basically April, May, June, right? Mm-hmm. But we do know that GST was zero rise and the third quarter will be amazing in terms of an outright number because it's a tax holiday. And once it's a tax holiday, people go out and go gangbusters at the malls, right? And they buy cars and they buy iPads and what have you. So I'm sure Q3 will be good. It's also the same thing because inflation 0.9%, last year 3.2%. It's also because the new Pakatan government came in and tried to address rising cost of living. So that's going to be the mark there.
Yeah, also in the press conference for this, remember that the foreign insurers, they had to pare down their stakes when it came to local insurers here. And what Bank Negara is saying is that, you know, they'll be foreign insurers in Malaysia will be given more flexibility to divest their stakes instead of meeting that June 30th deadline that was set for all foreign insurers. That's no longer there.
Yeah, I think it wasn't a hard deadline. It was just kind of like
it was, in a way, previously with the previous governor.
The narrative that I was told by certain economists is that it's not a hard deadline per se. It was a mark in the sand, and they wanted to hear at least some form of communication from each insurer as to what they're going to do, who they're talking to, and what prices they're going to be talking
at. Right? I think they wanted to see that they were doing something.
Correct.
They have to prove that they were doing something. They were making an effort to pare down their stakes.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the whole June 30th deadline, basically, just some kind of idea whether you're going to list your shares, whether you're going to divest. And don't forget, some of these stakes are worth billions and billions of ringgit. Not everybody has that kind of moolah, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
To take up that kind of stake in an insurance company. I mean, you're looking at potentially organizations like maybe EPF, which would have that kind of strength to take up a stake of that size. Now, on May 17th, Central Bank, at that point was under Tan Sri Muhammad Ibrahim, announced that five foreign insurers in the country were at a significant stage of discussion. Of course, nothing has come out of that in firm terms, but with domestic investors actually going to take up about 30% stakes in their businesses. And that, in fact, there's a sixth foreign insurer which would be starting negotiations with domestic investors as well to pare down their stake.
So now a new governor is saying that the objective of the divestment remains intact, but it will be based on the respective agreements between the foreign insurers and Bank Negara. So Nor Samsia explained that the divestment road taken by some foreign insurers could be more complicated than others, and that is why they need that flexibility.
Yeah, why not? Because the ultimate mandate is to localize the content, right? You can't have 100% owned by a foreigner. And the IPO route is obviously one possible option. And I think you're allowed to list your shares 30% or 25% is the minimum. And then that can be taken up by even foreign fund managers. So I don't think Bank Negara is too much of a stickler on this role. On this room. Okay, we also know that Tun Mahathir, our beloved Prime Minister, 93 years old of him, is in China on his trip. He's on a five-day trip. I think this is the third day. Lots of announcements this week.
Yeah, he was there since last Friday, and I think it's going to be until tomorrow. So everyone's closely, I mean, they're watching closely what's coming out of there. And this is also to gauge the fate of mega projects with state-backed Chinese participation. I think we're all waiting to see what comes out from that discussion there today.
So far, Dr. Mahathir's messaging during this trip has been two-pronged. He has firstly urged Malaysian businessmen to hook up with Chinese partners to unlock doors to the world's second largest economy. The second prong is that he has also emphasized that China's business leaders, that his government will not tolerate corruption.
Yeah, so one of the more interesting statements from the good Prime Minister is the claim he made that the previous government had forced some investors to carve out 30% of their projects to be approved. He said that some investors have been squeezed for money to be paid as incentives for approving their investments in Malaysia. And of course, the new Pakatan government wants to draw a line in the sand and move on from there. He now is assuring potential investors that such practices would not be repeated under the current government.
Yeah, he also said that bodies or parties involved will be answerable if investments are held up beyond the stipulated deadline. So, you know, in quotes, it says, so they can't sit on one case for too long. And Dr. Mahathir also encouraged Chinese investors to come on over and invest. You know, to come to Malaysia, not only as tourists, but as investors as well. And he also commented on China's manufacturing and technological powers, saying that, you know, there's so much more that Malaysia can learn from them.
Yeah, and speaking of manufacturing and technological prowess, Dr. Mahathir has witnessed the signing of a heads of agreement between Proton and Geely as part of his trip. During the signing, he said that the Geely has overtaken Proton, although Proton has been around a lot longer than Geely. Now, Dr. Mahathir acknowledges that Geely has proven itself in terms of technologies and quality, and that Geely on board will having Geely on board will help Proton accelerate its improvements and growth.
Yeah, so the whole ideal behind this JV is to allow Malaysia and Proton specifically to tap into this market. I think the total market in China for the cars is about 24 million units. Malaysia is about 6 million. So it's a market that's four times the size of Malaysia's and growing by a great deal every single year. Now, I think that under the terms of this JV, Proton is going to be setting up manufacturing facilities and factories in China. They're also going to be developing a network of dealers. Platforms for the vehicles will come from the Geely platform, clearly, so that they can bypass the whole expensive exercise of product platform development. But design will come from Proton, interestingly.
The JV is also for Proton to sell its cars in China.
Yeah, that's there is a little bit of a technological problem there, or a construct problem, because cars in China, of course, left-hand drive, and we don't have the facility to actually manufacture a left-hand drive vehicle. So I think one of these drivers of this JV is to actually set up the manufacturing facility in China to be able to provide left-hand drive vehicles to be manufactured, to be built, and also to be sold in China. And of course, the Chinese market is significantly larger than the Malaysian market, so it gives plenty more opportunity for Proton to actually penetrate that market.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, Proton had a really hard time trying to sell their cars overseas. I mean, even in Iran, they couldn't be selling their cars, right? Part of the reason for not being able to penetrate the European market is because it's not Euro 5 compliant in terms of emissions. So by doing this deal with Geely, suddenly bam, right? You got a market that's 24 million units worth 40 times. Hopefully, Proton can make a fist of it. But also, I want to point out that Tun Mahathir wants to have a third national car project. Now, initially, of course, highly criticized and vilified for having that remark. But it's much more complex and intricate than that. That's a discussion we'll be having also with P. Gunasegaram on Pressing Matters at 9:35. But it's a lot more to it than that. And I think it's the whole issue of industrialization and development. We can't rely on consumption-based economies to push the country forward. It's got to come from a manufacturing base, and I think that's what Tun Mahathir wants with this whole issue.
Yeah, Gunnar's article titles Why Any Version of Proton 2.0 Will Fail. That's the title of his article. We're going to be talking to him on that. Also, remember Mahathir saying that, you know, he admitted that Malaysian market is not big enough for the national car to achieve economies of scale. So, you know, that's why others do is compared to others who can do that in their other home markets.
Yeah, but obviously it's much more intricate. You know, Datuk Madani of the Malaysian Automotive Institute wrote a very interesting op-ed in poltan.org this, I think, a couple of days ago, reproduced there. Much to be had in that discussion. We'll be talking about that at 9:35. Very quickly, Donald Trump has said about the most sensible things he said since his presidency started. He said a lot of ridiculous things, but the most interesting thing he said, he's asked the SEC in America to study the viability of quarterly reporting with a view to perhaps abolishing it.
Yeah, he says the practice is to be blamed for a corporate short-termism. That's what he's saying in actual quotes in his tweet. He says, in speaking with some of the world's top business leaders, I asked what it is that would make business even better in the US. So you're saying stop quarterly reporting and go to a six-month system.
Yeah, apparently he had spoken to Indra Nooyi, that's PepsiCo's outgoing CEO, about this, and she had mentioned adopting biannual reporting as well. So Jay Clayton, chairman of the SEC, said it was already considering measures to encourage long-term capital formation, but at the same time preserving investor protection. Well, we've got to look at it from this perspective. Are they looking at it from a transparency perspective or to encourage longer-term investors? Which one is it going to be?
Well, it depends, right? Short-termism, because you've got to meet profit targets and transmit to the market your ability to meet expectations by investors, has introduced a whole bunch of for example, share buybacks, right? Share buybacks have been all the rage in America this past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's really boosted share prices because, you know, earnings per share has been exaggerated. But then from a long-term perspective, not much capex and investment in the long term. So the flip side to that is corporate governance. And if you allow companies to not report as frequently as they did before, what kind of things can they do in the background? And of course, the whole Asian experience is very different from the American experience because Asia is very much dominated by the family-owned structure. Obviously, a discussion that's going to be taking place over the next few weeks. So we'll be coming back with the 8 o'clock news in a couple of minutes, BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.